Here we are, peeps. This is the real Morgan Wallen. Not to be confused with Morgan Wade. Not to be confused. Okay, so just a little thing about, you know, award show season. The Golden Globes.
Hey. Yeah.
Has signed a 5-year deal with CBS.
Big
the
deal.
Ratings were up this year, 50% over the year before.
Good.
It can only go get better for them.
Yeah, it had 9.6 million audience. The deals with Dick Clark Productions, which is owned in part by the same company that owns Variety, The Hollywood Reporter, Billboard, and other trade publications.
Right.
So it's a little bit incestuous.
Totally.
And that way, and CBS, their new moniker, we're the home of award shows. Let me give you all the CBS programming that CBS has paid for.
Oh. All right, tell us.
The Grammys.
The AMAs. They always have had that.
The AMAs, okay. The CMT Music Video Awards, the Tonys, the Kennedy Center Honors, the NAACP Awards, Daytime Emmys. They get the Emmys every 4 years. Paramount Global, which owns CBS, you know, via all of that, can get CBS to carry the BET Awards or even the MTV Music Video Awards. And
they just don't get the big one.
CBS will have an award show every month and Party of the Year, the biggest night, but CBS is,
yeah.
So anybody, any CBS shows, CBS hosts, you know, all of this, but they have the Golden Globes and a 5-year deal. So Dick Clark Productions played hardball.
Yeah, we don't want it just for two.
Right.
We need a 5-year
deal. Because NBC, used to do that. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And Grant, I watched the saddest true story movie I think I've ever seen.
What's that?
The Iron Claw.
Oh, gosh. Isn't that? And like I told you guys, there's a fifth brother in that, or a sixth or fifth brother in that whole situation that they didn't even include because it would have made it so much more sad and depressing that they were like, it would be unbelievable to include the other brother.
It was the saddest true story movie I've ever
seen. What's it on?
Iron Claw. It's
probably on Peacock. I'm gonna look right now, but
I can't remember. We might have watched it on Apple. It was on a couple things, but Zac Efron though was incredible in it.
Yeah,
in that he's so sincere as the Von Erich brother Kevin, and yet at the same time you're super aware it's Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Like that's a movie star kind of a thing.
Okay.
I mean, I just think of when we started on the year, you know, the High School Musical. Well, it might have been 20 years ago, 2004, and
but that's what got Jeremy Allen so jacked to get his campaign for Calvin Klein.
Yeah.
It really did. I mean, Jeremy Allen White prior to that was not as buff as he was for that film.
And it was indescribably sad. I mean, a couple times Casey and I almost wanted to stop watching it.
It's a hard one.
We're gonna watch that.
But worth it.
All right, The Iron Claw.
Yeah, and you know, I guess that's why it didn't get any award love or any kind of a thing. Like Hollywood will not think too much about rewarding a very just depressing, sad. There's too many triggers in this movie.
But didn't they reward like the French Lieutenant's?
But there was only
Sophie's
one
choice.
Yeah, but that's the Nazis. There were so many people. There were so many things that were. Bad, bad, bad. There were like multitude of bad things happening. Going on with this. So
so that sad. Oh, all right.
And you know, I just gotta say that, you know, I don't know, be careful about watching this movie. There's suicide depicted.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of, you know, but it was
It's a true story.
It's a true story, and you do get a title card and an ending thing that feels uplifting. But honestly, I did, Casey and I talked about it, and I just think, I go, boy, and sometimes that is what there will be a family that just has, that you know of, or maybe it's your somewhere, but there's just one sad thing after another happens. And Maura Turney is in it. She's the mom. And,
ER all the way back in the day.
She's always so good. You know, and she was in The Affair, and I loved that TV show.
She's good. You know what I watched? Somewhere in Queens with Ray Romano.
Oh, that was a great
Laurie
movie.
Laurie Metcalf.
With the basketball kid.
The basketball kid.
How was it?
It's so good.
It's good.
Yeah, good.
It's slow. It's just a slow movie.
It's
about
a coming-of-age story about the dad who is means everything, that his kid's a great player.
And
Casey and I saw that.
The family business aspect
of it,
too?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It has the family business, and it has... it has Sebastian Maniscalco in it as well.
How about Ray Romano showing up on Quiet on the Set with that pickle
with the pickle scene. I know.
Okay, now wait a minute. Ooh. This, back to Quiet on the Set, what it is, it's the Nickelodeon documentary that is
covers the 1990s, the beginning of Nickelodeon, and up to current.
And what you're referencing, Lori, is when Brian Peck, the producer that we've been referencing most, who has done the most...
He's a registered sex offender and got fired from Nickelodeon finally. Yes. And just through this documentary, we learn it's Drake Bell, who's the unnamed minor, that he only got sentenced 16 months to.
But, and only 16 months, and then gets hired by Disney after. But to give an example of this behavior, this adult-like behavior that was on set that nobody took offense to, this guy, he was Mr. Pickles, I believe, or something, where he would walk around, Brian Peck.
He was
with a
part of the show.
He was, yeah.
I wonder, are those shows still airing? Because I feel like Drake Bell told us all those shows are still airing.
I don't know if they might be reruns.
Pickle.
But he would walk around with a plate of pickles and hand big, girthy pickles out to random people. But in this particular scene, and I'm going to be as polite as I can with this, but Ray Romano is in a dressing room. Mm-hmm. And they took the door handle off, and so there was a hole.
So it looked like a
hole, but we're not going to use the first term.
Yeah.
And he handed the pickle to Ray Romano through the hole. And then Ray grabs the pickle and eats the pickle with two hands, and just picture what that would look like in a kid's TV show. And, and Ray Romano, and I'm not blaming Ray at all. I'm sure he was just there to do it. But where were the adults?
What were people thinking? Because this is all entertainment for kids.
This is on all
6 to 14 is the demo.
I'm in 1994 at my grandma's house where cable was. And that was, Saturday nights, all that Nickelodeon, Goosebumps.
All right. I have to watch this Quiet on the Set.
You have to. I mean, and there's the Ariana Grande thing, too, where you just realize how she was sexualized on the set. I mean, there's
I never watched any. I bet my kids did.
And I didn't watch
all the players. That's why you watch it. Yeah. And also, if you look back in the early 2000s, the way grown-up adult media made fun on a regular basis of kids under the age of 18 about their weight or how they were behaving or dressing. It's really quite shocking to look at it with 2024 eyes to look at how, but again, it's 2002, 2003, 2004. I mean, there is no internet. And so there isn't a way of, I don't know. It's just more prolific. It's kind of like how a lot of times people go, how did you girls get to, put up with all that crap in the 90s, from the way men would treat you. And I everyone just learned to kind of laugh it away.
Unbelievable.
And that's what kids will do. That's what, when someone, when you're like, working your way up. That is one really great thing about now, is that young people, they know because of how things have changed, not to accept or put up with some of this.
I agree with you. Yeah.
You know, the parents of kids that are like these younger, they know, and they're on top of it in a way that just, we weren't so, you were kind of able to do sort of all this sort of funny stuff because
it was double entendres. That's what we called it.
The power that these executive heads had over this, and in particular, like Amanda Bynes, her whole story of wanting to break away from her parents was encouraged by Daniel
are
Schneider.
Are you kidding me?
He gave her a fake ID. He encouraged her to break away from her family. He took away the one foundation she had in her life so he could overwork her and work her harder if she wasn't,
really
if she was
sad.
Emancipated from her
that's
parents.
That's really sad.
And she was like a very talented comedian. And
she was a star.
And yeah, that one will really I can't stop thinking about
it. All right, I have to watch it.
I could talk for another
quiet
hour
on
about
the
it.
Set.
Yeah, and you and it's. I know it's on Max, and I know if you
is it on Max?
Max and Apple.
It is on Apple.
Also on Apple.
It's on a few of the other streaming platforms.
Roku
but if you have
channel.
If you have cable, just go quiet on the set. Mm-hmm. It'll come up in your DVR or in your on demand. Totally worth. I hate saying it. The watch, but you have to watch it.
All right. All right.
Well, I mean, I think it's worth watching because it's also. It does feel like all of America got groomed right along with the kids that people didn't think anything of it, that you thought it was completely okay.
Right.
And then there were parents, there were people who were there were people trying to protect. And I mean,
and let's not forget the racism too. We're talking about all this sexual stuff.
Oh,
racism like you wouldn't believe.
With the black kids.
The black kids.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And all these kids have in common is they are super exuberant, super theater, whatever, but they are acting. This is what they want to do. And they've convinced their parents, this is what they want to do, you know? And
was Macaulay Culkin in
they were all child actors, but he was not Nickelodeon.
Not Nickelodeon. Okay. He was
commercials, TV.
Yeah, he was protected. He was never part of like the TV world,
like
only
Disney
movies.
Or Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
okay.
He did want to emancipate from his parents. They mentioned him in it, in the idea of all these childhood stars wanting emancipation.
And that's very often at the behest of an older person who's like trying to take advantage of them sexually, monetarily, you know, whatever.
Your parents
it might
are getting
be.
All your money and spending it on your rent for all your sleep. Yeah, I can see.
It's a very much a cautionary tale. Yeah, and I wonder if Disney is worried if there's one over about their factory.
Good call.
Their kid factory.
I would hope there is because there should be.
Well, do you think there's a story to tell?
I mean, I would say absolutely based on the one fact that Brian Peck, the producer who was the most egregious of them all, he got hired within 6 months or a few months
of
being out of jail. No background check. That alone needs to be investigated. That story itself is a whole 2-hour conversation.
All right, with that, we are going to take a break and come back with a dirt alert.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Yes.
What kind of dirt do we have?
There's dirt today.
There is some dirt today. We're going to start out with Rebel Wilson. She's got a book coming out, Rebel Rising, on April 2nd.
Okay.
And in this book, in an Instagram video shared on March 15th, Wilson revealed that she has dedicated a chapter in her book to a massive bleep hole who she worked with in Hollywood. And she also claimed that she would eventually name this male colleague. And the name has come out.
But it wasn't named in the book.
It was not in the name of the book, no.
As far as we know.
So the post came out. So after that post, after threatening to release...
Is the book out?
No, she posted this just saying there's a chapter in my book about a massive a-hole. So people need to know what really goes on in Hollywood. This is typical of the kind of stuff. With someone with power, it gets to do.
And since she threatened that.
No, she didn't threaten it, Grant. Well, she was just teasing her book.
I know, but there's another line here. She wrote, so let me just finish this, okay? Okay, sorry. So she wrote, I wrote about a bleep hole in my book. she told Instagram followers. Now that bleep poll is trying to threaten me. So she already said she was going to release it. You're right. But he has hired a crisis PR manager and lawyers. And this actor is Sacha Baron Cohen, who they starred together in The Brothers Grimsley back in, 2016. It's
something
an action
like that,
comedy.
Terrible movie,
blasted by all critics. Now, she was the love entrance to Sacha Baron Cohen in this movie. His wife at the time was also on this movie.
Oh, really?
Yes. So there's, that makes it a little bit, you know, his wife was there, but she's saying that he was one of the most problematic people to work with on set ever. And he has come out on Monday. His reps shared a statement with TMZ. They said, while we appreciate the importance of speaking out, these demonstrably false claims are directly contradicted by extensive detailed evidence, including contemporaneous documents, film footage, and eyewitness accounts from those present
before. Okay, this is exactly what Nickelodeon did with all the kids. Oh, nothing to see here. And she doesn't even name him in the book. And then she hears from his lawyers, because he instantly knows it's him.
Okay.
And then she writes on Instagram, she said, I will not be bullied or silenced with high price lawyer or PR crisis manager. The a-hole I'm talking about in one chapter of my book is Sacha Baron Cohen. Mm-hmm. And then I guess when you get the book and you read, she gives very specific things, again, not naming him. And I don't know why he had such a guilty reaction.
I agree.
Because this would have gone under the bridge. It would have just been speculated, like, who's you're so vain about for all those years?
And she wasn't going to tell it. A number of movies.
Yeah.
But this his denial is a denial like Nickelodeon's denial.
Right. You're right. And that was going to be my question to you. So, like, with him coming out, and if he would have said nothing.
He should have said nothing.
Would this have gone completely under the radar? Mm-hmm. Not completely, but a lot less attention?
Well, in 2014, she called him out by name on the Kyle and Jackie O radio show in Australia. They're always get outrageous.
They do.
They get good stuff.
They're the big ones.
And she talked about how he was always bugging her to go naked on the set. And in the last scene, he wanted her not to pat his butt, but to stick her finger close to an area of his body she wasn't comfortable with.
Oy, right. Yi, yi.
And she just ended. She told this story in 2014.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So. And she just ended up slapping his butt. But anyway, he's going to be like, it's the Streisand effect. There's more attention being brought to that because he's not going to be able to sue her or anything for defamation because, you know, it's he said, she said kind of a situation. And maybe there's someone on the set who can confirm.
And that's what he was saying is that we have.
Because look at Josh Drake Bell.
Yeah.
On his side of the courtroom.
Zero.
His mom, his brother, his dad, maybe. On the other side, Brian Peck, 100 Hollywood
the
people.
The guilty guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
This is always, you know, I mean, Sasha is obviously the bigger player on Grimsley than Rebel Wilson was in 2016. He was coming off Borat.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm feeling here. Yeah. Because
Ollie
he went
G,
off,
Borat.
It says he went off script, pulled down his pants and said, do this.
Yeah. I now want to read Rebel Rising.
Right. So this is,
right.
Yeah,
so he's accomplished that, but I don't know what else he's accomplished by even commenting. She hadn't even named him or sicking a lawyer on her.
Right. And that's why, you know, he went and did that. And also maybe that's why I mentioned his wife at the time was on the set. So maybe he thinks he has some justification.
Aren't he and Isla Fisher still married?
She was in this.
Oh, she was in
this. She was in this movie.
Yeah, they're still married.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, he thinks he's okay in a sense. But I don't know. I have more to come with that one.
2016... He's on top of the world. He thinks he can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Typical.
It's Hollywood. Yeah. It's
male
not
Hollywood.
Unheard of.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I agree.
We just watched a show.
Right.
About this. Yeah, so I would not disagree. But let's round this one out with some auction stuff here. We got about a minute left.
Okay.
And this is
what are we buying?
Patty Boyd, ex-wife of George Harrison and Eric Clapton, sold her memorabilia. And within this memorabilia were letters, love letters to each both George Harrison and Eric Clapton. And it sold for $3 million. And in one of these letters from Clapton, says, I want to ask you if you still love your husband. All these questions are very important, I know. But if there's still a feeling in your heart for me, you must let me know. Don't telephone me. Send a letter. That's much safer.
Yeah, he writes Layla about her. Her memoir. Yeah.
I remember when you did.
That's a lot of money for her memorabilia.
$3 million for that. And then we also, $3.5 million is expected to catch for the Wizard of Oz ruby slippers, the ones that were recently returned from the Duluth, the gentleman
from Grand Rapids.
That is going to be going out on a little tour. And then after that, the owner is going to put them up for auction through Heritage Auctions, where they're expected to fetch $3.5 million.
Whoa.
In addition to that, the Titanic door that saved Kate Winslet went up for auction, and it sold for $718,000.
The one from the movie?
The floating door.
It's going to be like a decor on some Hampton house.
Right. We knew it would fit, too.
Right.
Why would she let Jack on it?
And her chiffon dress that she wore during the movie sold for
$125,000. Wow.
Harrison Ford's whip from the Temple of Doom sold for $525,000. Bill Murray's, remember the red rose bowling ball from Kingpin, the classic movie?
Yes.
That sold for $350,000.
Oh,
yeah, Tobey Maguire's black suit from Spider-Man, $325,000. The axe from Jack Nicholson's The Shining, $125,000.
That felt like a deal.
I mean, the axe.
Because it's practical, too.
It is. You can hang that one anywhere, and you can use it, too. Mm-hmm. So, lots of things in Hollywood going up for auction there. So we just had to get
that
one.
Thanks, Grant.
I realized something, Julia. First of all, it was a lot of TV this weekend due to the weather.
Oh,
Even though it only really snowed until Sunday.
I didn't leave my house.
I know. You got the weekend claim to fame.
I do. Sure.
Yes,
wow.
But one of the things I realized that I have learned from Law and Order, not only have I gone to the School of Law and Order,
you're an attorney now.
I've become a very good detective, and I'm very good. One of the things you learn from watching a police procedural is lying. The facial tics that give away lies. And I want to remind people of what they are. If you're currently trying to bust a lover in a lie or somebody else in a lie, I'm going to give you...
Lying 101.
Well, Julia, this is FBI police procedural information that people learn about because people who interrogate people or have to find out the truth about something, private detectives, you know, things like that.
Okay.
You must ascertain when somebody is lying to you or not. And I always wonder, how do they know? And I realize... I know, because I've been watching these shows.
You and Grant.
Yeah.
I'm going to start. Honest to God. They're on every channel.
Yeah. Anyway. So one of the two really obvious, there's three really obvious signs, okay?
Okay.
Normally, a person will blink like 12 to 14 blinks per minute. So if somebody is blinking rapidly, they're lying.
Okay.
They're just flat out lying. You're just blinking.
Okay.
If they lick their lips, that is a lying tell.
Like they're licking their chops.
And they do a hard swallow before they answer. They're lying.
Okay.
And the reason why people lick their lips and do a hard swallow is when you're stressed out, your cortisol, the stress hormone, it dries out your mouth.
I was just going to say your mouth is dry. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And why are you stressed if you're telling the truth?
That's a good point.
You're not.
Sometimes the truth hurts.
Good point, Julia.
People also subconsciously touch along the lines of they'll touch their cheekbones.
The jawline?
Yep. Okay. They'll touch their cheekbones. And they can dip their chin. They'll kind of angle their body slightly away, and they'll a flush or a blush, you know, for some people that's just an automatic thing.
Just turning red.
Yeah, but
yeah, it can happen on your ears. It can happen on your neck.
Yeah.
Or your chest. Sometimes it doesn't just happen on the face.
Yeah, and they'll change their eye. They were looking at you, and now when they're going to talk to you, they're going to look right over your shoulder like they're at the eye doctor. looking at the thing.
I think that's always one, but I do know people, though, that because we always thought this was one, if no one can make eye contact with you, because there's some people you talk to that just look in a different direction while they're saying things.
Yeah, they're if you know that somebody is that,
it's
that's
the
their
way they brain, gather their thoughts.
That's right. How I'm like that. I always feel weird that, like, when I'm talking to someone, I'm not, because you want to make proper eye contact.
Yes.
You know, when I'm not, like, right now, I'm looking down. When I process my thoughts, I look away, and sometimes I get anxious by, like, the constant stare of the eye.
Sometimes you want to just, someone turn their head.
Someone just look away
someone
for
break.
A minute. Yeah,
and the last couple things that people will do is that they will, people who are lying about something, they will say, obviously, and you know, and they'll be 100%. Definitely, I'm certain about that. They very overly convincing language and overly assuming language.
Okay,
is another tell. But really, it's the blinking, the lip licking, swallowing, and touching your face, and it's unconscious. You can't help it
because
it's your body's reaction
to stress.
The stress of lying.
Interesting.
That's right. Another thing we've learned in the School of Law and Order. And that's why, like, little kids, you know, it's easy for parents. They'll just blink and blink and blink at you. You know, I mean, they're just like, you're fibbing right now, but you get more skilled at it, you think, as you're older. But there are subconscious
tells. Yeah.
Or
all right,
you're
got
saying.
It.
Okay, now we always give, you know, we always will share with what do women want when we're talking about heterosexual relationships.
Okay.
But I thought I would visit the guy side of the fence and what guys don't like, what's giving them the big fat ick factor when it comes to women. Because maybe we've got new women who are dating toddlers.
Yes.
They've just started dating, you know, they've never dated before because now they've just turned, you know, an age where their dad is like, yeah, go
21.
Ahead. 21, 19.
Right.
Anyway, here's the things that guys do not like.
What don't they like?
All right. Guys do not like, well, they don't like no reciprocation of efforts. Let's say you've had one good date. If you don't let them know in some way that you're feeling after they've like, yeah, I would like to do it again. If there's no, they're just like, okay.
Effort is so important on both sides, and you've got to acknowledge it. Effort is key, I think, in a relationship. Effort.
Yes. Well, we're just getting to know each other.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We're just getting to know each other. We're not in a relationship yet, but we need a little reciprocation. Okay.
Yeah.
Guys feel that if a woman doesn't have a hobby, it's a red flag. They worry that a woman who doesn't have a hobby will be demanding of their time. That's what it says to a guy.
I think that one goes both ways.
Probably.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yep, I think that one goes both ways.
Very much so.
Negativity, of course.
Yep.
That's a universal one. When a woman doesn't hold herself to the same standard she holds a guy. A man too. Not to say that the roles and responsibility of each party need to be exactly the same, but when a woman acts a certain way, has a certain attitude, but gets upset when the man acts that way as well. Like, it's easy. I can do it, but you can't.
Right.
What else? It's kind of, when women on a dating profile, all they list, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, is a list of all the qualities they want in a man. They don't say anything about what they're like or what they'd like to bring to a relationship.
Okay. Give me more.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's another? Treating the, you know, people like servers or bartenders, cashiers, treating those people bad. If they only have guy friends, a lot of guys think that that's a red flag for a woman if she just says, I don't really have
any
close
girlfriends. And a lot of women think that's a red flag, too, for a woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. The ones who think they need to cut down every other female they see, it's tacky.
Yes.
So tacky. There was a little bit of this on that Selling Beverly Hills. Where this woman was cutting down other women.
It's
like, what's the point?
I agree.
Yeah,
what is the point?
It's so mean girls high
it's
school.
So
why
mean
is she
girls.
Wearing that top?
Yep.
It's not attractive. Another one, a guy, if I'm the only one who can start a text. Who has to be good morning first? If not, I met with silent. I don't like it. I'm in my late 40s. I broke up with my first girlfriend in grade 7 over this exact issue. It was phone calls, not texts.
Well, you don't always want to be the one to start everything.
Yeah.
I get that.
So anyway,
those are some
Brand,
of the...
Brand, do you have any more to add? Because, you know.
Those are
pretty good.
Some of those hit pretty well.
Do they?
Yeah, they hit pretty
anything
well.
Anything about paying or anything about any like
no,
that?
No, yeah, this is one. Just this stuff when you're just like getting to know, like, you know, you're kind of dating, you're looking at dating things. So, and I said that a couple weeks ago, if you've got a profile out there, say a couple things that you're bringing to the party that you like to do, not what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you bringing?
I would love that because sometimes we can't read people's minds.
Right.
We need to, you know, like, I want to do things for you, but like, what do you like?
I'm going to bring my beautiful travel eyes to everything you do.
There you go.
Oh, Lord.
And that means you want to go on a trip. There we go. We got it done.
Speaking of travel, the Paris Olympics, we've got the number. It's 300,000 condoms that have been ordered. And I would love it if for the Paris Olympics, the rings could be 5 colored condoms.
Oh, that would
you know, the cellophane ones.
I'm sure they're going to do that.
But wouldn't that be great?
Oh, God.
I wish that could be the logo on these things.
On the condom package.
On the condom package.
Yes,
but that's probably, you can't use their logo. Yeah, that's funny.
So what does the math mean on this?
Okay.
It's 2 condoms per day, every day of the sporting event. It works out to about 21 condoms per athlete.
2 per day per athlete during your event time.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Someone's really done the math. Mm-hmm. No one has had more condos than the Rio Olympics in 2016. That broke
condos?
The record.
Mm-hmm.
Condoms. Mm-hmm. 450,000.
Oh.
450,000. Well, look at how wild those Olympics were. People got
Matt
fired.
Matt Lauer got fired. Billy Bush got fired.
Billy Bush got fired.
Yep, there was a lot going on the Today Show that was covering it. NBC. There was stuff.
The swimmer.
Brian Lochte
got
held up.
Made
up. He was held up at a gas station.
I forgot about
that. Oh, yeah. There
story.
Was scandal.
Oh,
there was scandal around that Olympics.
Yeah. So no one has had more condoms than the Rio.
I believe it.
And it was summer, which Paris will be summer too. And then just if you're wondering, condoms have been handed out since 1988 at the Seoul Olympics, move designed to encourage safer sex and raise awareness of HIV and AIDS. And so anyway, and of course, the game's motto in Paris, games wide open.
Oh, no.
As opposed to legs akimbo.
And eyes wide open. It's a simple slogan that says, you know.
Games wide open instead
wide
of
open.
Play ball. Play on.
Play
game on.
On.
Games wide open. I know.
I don't know. That's
it's
really.
It's so funny. I can't wait for
really,
Snoop Dogg to do a thing on that.
That's a funny logo. That's a funny saying.
President of the Paris Organizing Committee said this about it. Games wide open has really been our motivation from the start.
That just doesn't even. Wow.
I know.
All right. There we go.
So anyway, but that's just, you know, 2 a day. I promised last week I'd do the math on that.
Thank you, honey.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. That's probably all the time we have.
It is.
I'll leave next. Next week, I'm going to explain to you all the double-decker sex position and see if you're brave enough to try it.
I think Lori's going to do a YouTube video.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, I will.
I think that would be more
helpful
for people.
You will be a demonstration.
Oh, I
love
it.
We'll do it together.
Okay, I love it. Hi, people. We've got to talk about a few things that Loreen has brought to our attention.
Anne Hathaway is the gorgeous cover of the April Vanity Fair in a latex bra and giving a very dishy interview, which we'll get into tomorrow.
Yes.
And she stars in a movie called The ID of You, which comes out on Amazon May 2nd. And that's the motivation and the reason she's on it. But she's also talking a lot. She's talking about everything. She's talking about the Anne Hathaway hate that happened. When she won for Les Mis.
And she was...
And then she and Franco.
James Franco hosted the Oscars, and didn't show up, and she was just humiliated because he was a dink.
So she talks about all of that. So
that must have been really hard for her.
That's posted. She couldn't have been lovely. I ran into her on a hike in Runyon Canyon.
She was lovely to us the night we hung out with her and her husband, Adam, three children at the Four Seasons.
Yes, you're right.
She was lovely. She was always lovely to us.
Anyway, I watched this with you earlier in the Double Wide. Under the Bridge, maybe you read this book, Rebecca Godfrey's book. It's the true story of a 14-year-old girl who went to join friends at a party in 1997, never returned home. The series is seen through the eyes of Riley Keough, who I don't know if she's a friend, and then local police officer Lily Gladstone.
Yes, and Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone are friends. They kind of met during COVID somehow, some way.
And so maybe these young girls, did they commit the murder of their friend? It looks compelling.
It looks, Grant, you saw it. I feel like this is...
The trailer looked amazing.
It does.
Yeah, this is up my alley for sure.
Yeah, all of us. Yeah. We like the... April 17th on Hulu.
But most importantly, come on, The Bachelor tonight. Is it going to be Daisy or is it going to be Kelsey?
Julia.
What's happening, people?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. I think it's Kelsey because of the Bachelor edit that we saw last week that they Daisy didn't mean for
said,
us to sell.
Daisy said, I can't do this.
No. When Kelsey got the second rose, it wasn't the second rose. It was the first rose. And the second rose, you could slightly see. And they made it look like he gave Daisy the first rose. Because you always give the first rose to the one you feel closest to.
So you think there was an editing? And that's been all over the internet. I just never read what it was.
That's what it is. Okay. Last week, when at the end of Women Tells All, it looks like he gives Daisy the rose first, which that's how they showed it.
But you still see the other part.
Then Kelsey, when he gives her what is the second rose, you can see the tip of another rose. So the Bachelor switched the edit on that to make it look like Daisy to tease the audience.
Oh, because I thought it looked more like Kelsey because of when Daisy said, I just can't
do this. If Daisy gets the first rose, then it looks like Daisy's got the lead. So why are they deliberately throwing us off track? And how did an editor miss that tip of the rose?
Good eye, Lori. Good eye.
Well, it wasn't just me.
I know. I saw this all over, but maybe it was they're trying to fake us.
No.
Double fake.
Okay. That's an edit. That's a mistake.
Yeah.
Because they would just do it that way and they could show it in any order.
I think it's going to be Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I think it could be that. Maybe he asked Daisy and she says, no, I don't know. I thought it was I was so sure it was Daisy. He just seems so giddy and delighted with her.
He does. The editing is so hardcore in this stuff because we don't know.
Well, this is an editing mistake that we weren't supposed to know about. So what are they trying to hide is the question. We'll be watching.
I can't wait. There's so much going on. Plus, I had my pickleball last night, this league.
You had pickleball last night in the store?
Tonight.
Oh, tonight.
I've got a busy, busy night, but I just want to let people know, we're going to be watching The Bachelor. I cannot wait to find out.
Yeah, when you get home from pickleball, be turning it right in and not looking at Twitter or any social media.
Oh, I never do, Lori. You're the one that does that. Yeah. I'm not that. Okay, so The Mentalist, remember The Mentalist with Simon Barker, God's gift to people. He's Patrick Jane. Simon Baker, thank you. What'd I call him?
Barker.
Okay.
Bob Barker's dog.
That's streaming on Hulu. The Mentalist with Simon Baker. He's so beautiful. All 7 season. It's just dropped today. Fantastic. If you want to watch something yummy. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Everyone have a great night. Thanks, Grant.
Job done. Off you go.